Good afternoon delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor.
And
boy, we need a portal noise. Can you do a portal noise?
Yeah, door opening. Door opening and closing. How about that?
we need a portal noise because boy, oh boy, basketball portal is there's so much coming and going and info dropping, like seemingly.
Hold on, before you go any further.
Okay.
Video wise, the hat, pretty on point. The shirt, the green Masters weekend, pretty on point. You're pulling a number on video today.
That's, yeah, let's go, baby.
I love you. You look good.
And I'm about to go play golf too. So like,
you're gonna be the best looking dude on the golf course.
I'm going to break the course record, I guess. If you wear this, you have to play good.
This makes a huge deal. Kyle can tell you I'm very bright on the golf course.
Yeah.
And so it makes a.
I don't think I'm bright. I think I'm just traditional today. Super
good. You did a great job coordinating. You look good. So go play good. All right.
Good deal. I'll let you know how it goes. The latest information, latest news that just came out is Sway's back.
Sway's back announced earlier today. There's already been the official tweet, which that's always makes it official when you see the tweet that's out there. But even a release from the university came to me on the mail list that I'm on. So Sebastian Williams Adams, which I was really looking forward to he and Jovich kind of being a two fours down there because they seem to start working well together at the end of the season. Jovich still a wild card. We'll get to this momentarily, but I told you I think he may be asking for too much money. He may have overplayed his hand, so who knows if he'll be back or not.
Well, he got it. I mean, I guess he got it. He committed to UCLA.
So they gave it to him?
I guess so. He committed to UCLA. Let's start with Sway, and then we'll work our way to Jovich because that's a fun conversation. Sway, obviously, not much of an offensive threat this year, but he showed at times to me the ability to, you know, he popped out and shot some threes in the NIT.
Big threes in the NIT. Yeah. Big threes.
There were a couple of games. I don't know the exact stats. There was at least one game I think he made all of them because we joked about like he made every single three. So he showed some inside presence at times, and the defense and the rebounding is something that he just plays with so much effort, and you're really looking forward to seeing that next year of development, like one more year, like what does he look like as a sophomore, because you saw the glimpses as a freshman.
The one thing that I like about Sway, and I'll go back to the Dylan Carwell version. He's not 7 feet like Dylan.
That's a really good comparison.
But defensively, he can guard the 1 through 5. And, you know, maybe not match up well against a 5 because a 5 may be 7'1", maybe 7 feet. However, he plays longer than he is just because of his leaping ability as well as the way he moves his feet. And the fact that when they switch and he gets stuck on a 1 or a 2 or a 3, you worry more about the guy that switched off than you do Sway. You know, they're blowing by Sway. So that is such an advantageous thing to have with the big guy. We saw it his junior and senior year with Dylan Carwell. We almost felt a sigh of relief when he got stuck on a 1 or a 2 because they thought they could get by him and they couldn't.
Yeah.
And Sway,
that's a really good point.
And Sway is going to bring that. These next couple of years that he's with the program, when he gets switched off and he gets stuck on a 1 or a 2, I'm not concerned. I'm more concerned with the guard that just got switched up. If they get stuck on a 5 underneath, that's what I'm going to be concerned about, that, not about Sway. So he is invaluable defensively. And you mentioned hitting all the threes in one of the NIT games. It wasn't just that, Kyle. He hit so many momentum-changing threes in the NIT where somebody was making a run, they kick it out to Sway, he buries a 3, and it completely deflated the other team because it was like, dadgummit, we left their 4 or 5 out on the wing, and he actually hit the shot.
And it was so, the Illinois State game. He went 3 for 3 from 3.
Yeah.
And he hit a big one against Tulsa, too.
Yep.
13 points. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's good stuff.
So, I said this at the beginning of the season. He was one of my favorite players, and all he did was get better throughout the season. And his accountability on himself, because when he had a bad game, when they interviewed him post-game, he'd go, I did not have my best today. That was ridiculous. I got to be better. And
even if he is a sixth man, Yeah. Like those guys are vastly, like, vitally important.
Again, Dylan Cardwell.
Dylan Cardwell. That was a great example. Like, it's a different position, and he may not be the most emotional version of Dylan Cardwell, right, like, to get the fans into it, but, like, the energy and, like, the change of pace and coming off the bench for a spark, he could easily fulfill those shoes, I think, next year. So,
and all I know about him, Kyle, is what a great teammate he is.
Yeah.
Like, apparently he just is a pillar of the team. He does well in the classroom. He's not going to do anything to get your program in trouble. We don't have to worry about him throwing elbows and ruining a game going down the stretch where he loses his temperament on the floor. You know, he makes great decisions on the floor.
Yeah.
It just, all he needed was him being youthful is to get some more growth, and he got that.
Yes, a little more time, man.
I think he was he's one of the ones that benefited from the extra 5 games.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, he averaged 8 points and 3 rebounds a game, which is, I mean, but he was not playing like a full-time role. I mean, he averaged like 25 minutes a game. So it's pretty dang good. You know, I'll take that. I'll take that 10 times out of 10. Houston wanted him really badly. Mm-hmm. I think he's from there. So they're local school, and there are some reports that they offered more money, and he still chose to stay. So, good on him, man.
Again, good teammate. I told you, good teammate, buddy. That's great.
And you know the KO announcement. You had Simon Walker, which we may talk about a little bit later. Just there's some steam picking up on Tahai. There's some steam picking up on Freeman, possibly like actually being locked in. know, unlike maybe.
Unlike the graphic that I saw that I was excited and I told you, I was like, hey man, Freeman's coming back. And then I looked back and I was like, oh, that was like a fan account. That wasn't like a real account. So,
yeah.
But I hope it holds true. I think he's happy here.
Well, I mean, he said it. That was his quote. He said locked in. He said, I'm locked in when he talked to me. But I mean, it was fresh after a game. So good stuff.
He could be locked into Kentucky for all we know. I don't know.
Let's talk about Jovic for a second. Yeah. And you know, the reports were out that, you know, I'm looking for $2 million, or his agent's looking for $2 million. How much of that?
2 to 3. It was quoted as saying 2 to 3.
Yeah. Here's my thing there. Okay. We didn't see a $2 million product out of him. Okay. So that's just, would you agree with that? Like, that's not his game last year was not a $2 million game.
Well, let me just go ahead and put it to you this way. If you put him in a lineup and you go what we were just talking about, if you say, Ben, you got to choose Sebastian Williams Adams or Filip Jovic, I'm taking sway over him.
So I do want to ask you this question though. Okay, so I would say with confidence, I think that close to 100% of his non free throws were scored in the paint.
Yep.
As far as Jovic. Never saw a jump shot. I don't know that I ever saw anything. Here's my question, though. He was asked to play a lot of five, okay, at times. And I know Broom shot some threes, but he would get the ball at the top of the key a lot. I mean, at the top of the three-point line. And that's kind of how they set their offense up. And then, you know, they kind of roll from there. But they just leave him wide open. Like, he could have shot multiple threes with nobody around him, and he never did. So my question is, there was this video that came out, and it was at the beginning of the season where he hit like 7 or 8 threes in a row. So my question, you remember that? 12. Yeah, it may have been 12. So my question is, does he actually have a shot, or was he just the role he was asked to play? We never got to see it.
First off, thank you to the fan that retweeted, went and found that video and retweeted it, because I was one of the ones that tweeted it the first time around.
Yeah.
And when they retweeted, they quote tweeted it and they said, I was sold a dream. And I completely thought that was hilarious, because I was like, yep, me too. Because when I saw that, I was like, great, we got a big dude that can go around the perimeter and can actually hit shots. And then I never saw him take a shot from the perimeter all year long. He may have, I don't know.
I know he didn't. I know he didn't.
Especially from the top of the key, like you said, their four, their five would fall off of him and let him have that shot at the top of the key. And
he could have shot wide open threes all day long.
Kyle, we know from the staff, they're okay with them taking that shot. Like, this staff is no – yeah, they have no – they had no problem with Sway taking the shot. Like, they're okay with taking the shot. Now, if you take it and you miss it three or four times, they're just like, all right, that's enough. Like, we've had it. But they're – I will say Steven comes from that line like Bruce does, where it's like, no, take the shot. You know, make
sure – He shot three threes this year, and he missed all of them.
See, that's –
I mean, that's not a huge. He could have hit his next two and been two of five. You know what I mean?
Are you bringing that up because you're thinking maybe the staff held him back and that's why he started looking, or was it just a money grab?
It's a question. Yeah. I don't know. I want to make sure I'm clear on this. Staff holding him back is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that based off that roster and his role. I'm trying to figure out how to justify $2 million.
Yeah. I said, look, don't get me wrong. Getting the guy paid, I get it, because that's where we are in basketball. Like, guys are going to ask for money.
Yeah.
But when he immediately jumped out and said, oh, his agent, who was another foreign name, so he's got some local representation from back home that's doing this and is asking for $2 to $3 million. And I had somebody jump in my mentions on Twitter because I was like, 2 to 3 million for 6 points and four boards a game is – that's quite the ask, my man. That's – you know, because you and I talked before we came on, that's like the Florida big guy, the Canadian guy, he's – that's 7'6". He's asking for 3 million, and he only averaged 0.6 points a game. So is that where we are in are big men – are fours and fives, are they the new point guard? Are they the new shooting three? Like, what is – Why are all these big – because they're not the only two. Around basketball, every big guy that's in the portal, every four and five that's in the portal is asking big money. Is that what the market's calling for right now? Or
– I don't know, man.
Are they just – is that agents having delusions of grandeur and asking for that?
He got he committed to UCLA, so he got something. And maybe it was more than what he was going to get at Auburn. And I thought I saw, and I may be crazy on this, but I thought I saw that.
He didn't get no damn insomnia cookies. How about that?
Yeah, you just threw that away, Philip. I thought I saw that UCLA possibly signed somebody else from Serbia.
Okay.
So maybe there was maybe there was a friendship thing. I don't know. But regardless, my only question I ask is what did UCLA see that's, you know, $2 million worth from last year? I mean, to me, a million was stretching it. It's all based off of what could be, and I'm just not sure that.
Well, and that's what got me because, okay, again, I'll go back to my argument that I was having with it, and I finally just stopped arguing because clearly the guy arguing with me was a huge Jovich fan because he was all about they need to pay him that. And I'm like, if I'm on that staff, there's no chance I look at paying Jovich $2 to $3 million.
No.
No chance. I mean, that's what Tahad was making. Yes, that's what Paul was making.
Yeah, there's no chance you do
that.
And
that's 70% of your scoring between those two.
Yep.
Jovich is not 70% of your scoring, and he ain't 70% of your defense. He ain't 70% of your block shots, and he ain't 70% of your rebounds. So I can't justify cutting a check for $2 to $3 million for a guy that ain't even putting up the numbers we're already paying people that for.
Agreed.
So
let's talk. Hey, let's say that
to put a bow on that. I say it to say this, and I said this in the argument with him. I said, maybe there's some teams out there paying for potential. Maybe they see something like you said in scouting or in film that we don't see because they're professional basketball minds. But clearly, when he threw that number out, Auburn was like, oh, there's no chance. Go ahead and go shopping. And he did. He went shopping, and it sounds like somebody went to buy him.
Yep. We're going to talk about Tahad and Freeman here in just a second. Before we do that, buy Auburn, man. Buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are. If it's the Auburn family means something to you, then do business with them. We're building a professional network, trying to connect Auburn-owned alumni, fan, businesses with Auburn fans, people that listen to the show. So you can sign up today and advertise your business. I think we're up to 10 on there in a little less than a week. So nice. This thing's going to take off. It's going to be filtered by location. So it doesn't matter if you're in Decatur, Owens Crossroads, or Starkville, Mississippi. I mean, who cares? If there's Auburn people there and you got an Auburn business, let's let Auburn fans know about it. So go to buyauburn.com today. Start the movement. Buy Auburn. And then if you love the shows, we got all kinds of gear that you can check out at aushirts.com. We sold like a ton of the Boog hats, Ben, just a pile of them. And I'm trying to make sure I don't get an NIL violation by using Nate Oates' actual name for the Nate Oates as a Scumbag shirt.
That's still, all right. We have a backup plan. I told you my plan on that. N-O. Just uses initials. N-O. And then that way you can make number one Scumbag.
There you go. So this one might get us in trouble. So check it out. AUShirts.com.
I love that you flash it up there. This one might get us in trouble.
Yeah. AUShirts.com. All right. Feels like, dude, let's put a pin on this. But it feels like there's a lot of momentum for Tahad and now a lot of momentum for Elijah Freeman, which I know you're probably thinking, what do you mean momentum with Elijah Freeman? He said he was coming back. Well, I mean,
he's also got people around him that are trying to.
He's also got people around him, exactly, that are trying to go find the highest dollar available, which is their job. That's what they're supposed to do. So you can say things. You can say things in the moment and the emotion of a win, and you know, you got to take it for what it is. Yeah. But it does feel like now there's positive momentum in both of those guys, like direction. Doesn't mean they're going to come back, but it does. There's some confidence building. What does that say about Steven in the narratives around Steven? If you bring back Sway, Tahad, you bring back Kevin Overton, and you bring back Elijah Freeman.
Well, first off, we're already headed, in my opinion, this way upward because of what you just said. Overton and Sway are two big gets. Simon Walker, which I had somebody text me and they go, where's he going anyway? I said, he's known as a sharpshooter.
Yeah.
There are certain programs that are willing to pay to just have that guy that hovers around on the outside and shoots a ball every now and then. We saw it all during the tournament. You saw all kinds of guys from the Midwest having guys that played zero
defense. Let me clean up that point. There are a ton of programs and systems that would really benefit from a player like Simon. And it's not so much that he may not fit our system quite yet. It's just that there's more requirements. Like he may have a huge jump from this year to next as far as defensively. And then, you know, you can play out there and play more minutes. But there's teams out there that don't give a shit about defense. They'll just say, run out there and shoot threes. And he could have gone to somewhere. He could have gone somewhere like that, but he stayed. He chose to stay and play for Steven.
Yeah, there's tons of teams out there, Kyle, that are zone oriented, which he does fine in because he's only got a little segment that he's got to protect. So he could have gone and played defensively in a zone situation where he gets to basically float and shoot, and he decided not to do that. So the fact that Steven had one guy coming in, and he was not a starter.
Well, Steven really didn't have anybody coming in. If you think about it, it was mostly. Those guys, Tahad came back to play for Bruce, and then they had the whole switch. So keep going. Yeah, sorry.
So Steven basically, I'll give him a half a win there because I'm pretty sure there were still rumors in the locker room of, hey, Bruce may step away. Like, I don't think Tahad was blindsided by Steven taking over the program. So he essentially had one now or a half a one. But now you've already got, you know, Overton, you've got Sway, you've got Simon Walker, you've got the possibility of Freeman, you got the possibility of Tahad. So you're talking five dudes, and that narrative of Steven doesn't have any loyalty with these guys, you got to start piping that down. Those naysayers have got to start pulling that sort of rhetoric back, because clearly these guys that are coming back are bought into what is taking place, and they see a possibility of future. You got your 7-foot guy that's coming in from France that's going to be on the team at least for a minimum 2 years, or if he just shines, he may be only here a year. I mean, he may get drafted for all we know. So it's, and then what's in the, you know, what's in the portal right now? What's Steven working on? What's Steven and staff working on? Do we, is there another four out there, another five out there that would make it even more lucrative for Freeman and Tahad to come back if he grabbed one of those guys? So, yeah, I think this whole, he can't coach, he can't, people forget Steven was the guy recruiting Atlanta. Like, he knows how to recruit. So I'm tired of hearing that online as well, where they go, well, who's he going to get? Well, bro, look at who he got already, like who he brought in for the program before.
And stop worrying about high school recruiting, for the love of God. For the love of God, stop talking about high school recruiting. It doesn't matter anymore.
No.
Especially in basketball more than anything. There's 20, there's over, there's almost 50% of the college basketball players last year that went in, that are in the portal. And it, to answer your preemptive question, well, how can you rely on the portal every year? Did you see Michigan? Did you see what they did this year? They beat the heck out of everybody with a team that had zero kids on it that went there out of high school. It does not matter anymore. It's all about the portal. I'll tell you what it's going to be a lot about. That Kloman, the GM, a lot of ties in Europe. It's going to be about identifying players and then building a roster. And if you get a kid for 2 years, that's a win. If you got a kid for longer than 2 years, you won. That's college basketball now. I'm sorry if that, if you don't like that, but that is college basketball, and the systems are in place to for Auburn under Steven to be pretty good. You just got to pick out, you got to nail your evals and then coach them.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, is I think this past, like, we missed on Opoorman. I mean, we didn't see the injury happening. We didn't see, you know,
him. Bashir was a miss. There's a couple every year, and the Final Four didn't help us last year because the portal was open. But now you got no basketball, and all you're doing is locking in on who you want to add to the roster. You get hopefully five guys back from last year's team. That's huge in today's game.
You get them to buy in. You and I have mentioned this. You know, Michigan said we got 9 starters. If Steven can convince these guys coming in, I can only put 5 on the floor, but you need to be considered a starter, because trust me, you're going to make hay, you're going to make money, you're going to see a lot of minutes. And if he can convince them, like with rotations, then they'll come. Because Kyle, it's funny you brought up the high school thing. So let me ask you this. I'll ask you what I asked a buddy of mine, and I was shocked at his answer. I've got a guy that's been a starter and got a ton of experience over the last couple of years, regardless if he was at one place 1 year, another place another year, who wants to come in and give Auburn 2 years, or I've got a 5-star all-world high school player. Which one are you taking?
Proven production. 10 out of 10.
And you know, and my guy that I'm talking to, he goes, yeah, but look at the potential of the 5-star All-American / McDonald's All-American high school player. And I'm sitting there going, and he's played 0 college ball. Like, you can miss me with the AAU superstars moving forward.
Yeah.
I want to see the guys that competed against North Carolina.
I got to pay them. Arizona. I got to pay them the same amount. I got to pay a dude that scored 22 points in college basketball, a game in college basketball. Like, if I got to pay them the same thing, I'm going to go with what I've seen on tape that's proven.
The guy from right before we came on, I looked online, the guy from Iowa, the 4 jumped in the portal this morning. The guy that hit a lot of threes, had a big NCAA tournament. I was like, I'm taking that guy over a 5-star McDonald's All-American in a heartbeat, because I just saw him play against Arizona. I saw him play against other I saw his production. I'm taking that dude, because I saw him play against college players. I didn't see him play against a 6A high school team, you know, from South Carolina. So you can totally miss me with that whole, what are these guys doing in these high schools? Who are they talking to? I'm be a portal king during basketball.
Yes.
Pay guys what they are worth, which I don't think Jovic was worth the $2 million. So I think that was a good let go. And bring in guys that can make a difference and that can work with one another, like you just saw Michigan do. I mean, that Michigan point guard, Tahad's buddy, was told at North Carolina, you're never going to be able to take it to the next level. And he just won a national championship, and he won player of the game. Kiss my ass, he couldn't make it to the next level. Yeah. He did.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to put a bow on this. Two completely unrelated funny texts. Well, okay. One's a tweet and one's a text that I got, and I think they're hilarious. I want to get your thoughts on it. So this one's about the soccer match that's going to be played. And Jordan here, it says, does Argentina score more points than Auburn against Kentucky in their own stadium? So it's only four. Can they score four against Iceland?
I'm going to take the under because it's an exhibition game. I'm taking the under.
I don't know anything about exhibition games. Are those pretty tight, or are they typically high scoring?
Just a lot of guys playing during that time. We're going to have a lot of rotations going on during the exhibition game. So got to get some experience for those guys for the real thing. So
there you go.
We'll see a lot of Simon Walkers out there on the field during the exhibition game.
And then this is a Masters tweet, and they're interviewing Tom Watson, and Gary Player's up there too, and they asked Tom Watson if he could make one change at Augusta National, what would it be? And he said, I'd fill in the creek in front of 12, and everybody laughed. And then Gary Player says, that's just an 8-iron, and it's just an 8-iron, and it's crippled more people than polio. That's such a good line. It's just an 8-iron. Just hit an 8-iron.
Just hit an 8-iron.
Just hit an 8-iron. Stop thinking about it. Just hit an 8-iron. You and I talked about that. Like, sometimes I think at Augusta, people paralyze themselves with analysis. Like, they overanalyze everything, and then it's like, just go hit it in the middle of the green. Like, just go hit an 8-iron in the middle of the green and go to the next hole.
You and I texted about it because they had the ANWA a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
With the women's amateur. And I said, you know what I'm fascinated at? Every time they get to 12, there's no arguing because the caddies don't know. Neither do the players. They look at the yardage. They grab a club. They hit it. And every one of them were hitting the green.
Yeah.
There were like two balls in the water. That was it.
And then you'll have some of the greatest players in the world trying to like feather. I got to feather this in and this, that, and the other, and then I leave it short. It's crazy. But Ben, you got anything else?
No, man. I got all riled up, Dave, about that high school versus transfer portal stuff. So I'll go take my blood pressure medicine.
Go take a nap.
Yeah.
Drink you a cold beer and have a good weekend.
I love it.
All right, brother. We'll talk again soon. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.